Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Posts, DontPerish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, today we are going to finish up the book of Matthew, verse-by-verse study. We are in Matthew 28. We're going to start at 13 and go through to the last verse, verse 20. It's been a long journey. Let's get right at finishing the book of Matthew, verse-by-verse. You can see all the rest of the verse-by-verse studies in Matthew by going to DontPerish.com, clicking on the verse-by-verse tab. Verse 13, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." Okay, so remember the setting. Jesus is resurrected. There's an earthquake. The angel rolls away the stone. The Roman soldiers guarded it. No one got to it and stole Jesus' body. And they went and told the elders what happened. And the elders, what do? Yeah, we're going to see. They bribe them with money to tell a lie. So the elders, the religious leaders, are paying off these guards to tell a lie to hide the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're going to claim that the disciples stole his body. Or it says it right there, his disciples came by night. This just shows us, not only are they murderous, the level of corruption and deceitful workers of those who are not of God. Who are they of? Well, we'll get to that. I'll read a verse. Their father is Satan. And I'm always amazed at the people that are religious leaders and how much they lie and how wicked they really are. They basically agree to cover these Roman soldiers. They say if the governor asks, you know, we'll cover you. Verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught, as this saying is commonly reported among the Jews to this day. So the Roman guards take this bribe money. They're paid off. God hates corruption. And they're going to try and lie and cover up the resurrection of Jesus Christ. More lies about our Savior, right? All through his ministry, it was that way. And even at his death and resurrection, it is no different. As I said, these men, who are their fathers? Satan. What did Jesus say? John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. You know, Satan is the enemy of God. He's the father of lies. This must explain why God hates lies and liars. Go read Proverbs 6, God hates the lying tongue. This must explain God's hatred for lies, because Satan is the father of lies. When you lie, you are in unison with Satan, the enemy of our father. Is that not true? Revelation 22:14-15 says one lie puts you outside of the kingdom. Actually, Revelation 21 says that. And the Bible talks about no liars will inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, very important. So interesting how lies are propagated by Satan, by his people, and God hates liars. Verse 16, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. All right, so the 11 disciples that are left, Judas, obviously after the betrayal, is not there. He's gone out of the picture, dead. The disciples do as they're told. They obey. They meet Jesus Christ right where he told them they would meet him. And I love this. They worship him. Have you been following along on the Matthew studies? You've noticed that various places it is said people have worshiped Jesus. I was just witnessing at Daytona 500, and I got to witness to a Muslim man, and he was stumbled when I said, hey, the scriptures say that people worship Jesus. I said, you would know that according to the Old Testament, no one can worship anything or anyone but God. He looked at me, and that one threw him for a loop. Yeah, all over, they worship Jesus. So that's good evidence. And then it says, and some doubted. If we ever get to verse by verse in the book of John, which I hope to in my lifetime, if the Lord gives me that time, we're going to read about doubting Thomas. Remember the famous doubting Thomas? I can't believe unless I see with my own eyes. You can go read about doubting Thomas in John chapter 20. He was probably the doubting one that Matthew was talking about. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. So Jesus confirms that the Father's given him all power, clearly shown by his resurrection, laid down his life, he picked it up again. At his baptism, the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he fulfilled perfectly the law of righteousness, the Old Testament law, and he will be soon seated at the right hand of the Father. So Jesus, in position to take all authority over heaven and earth, he's going to be in charge, ruling over the new heavens, the new earth. Revelation 21, 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I love that. The Lamb is the light of the city. Isn't that awesome? He's going to be ruling there. That's the best way to have any form of government, is a righteous ruling king that doesn't allow any sin, wickedness, partiality, or injustice. That is so awesome. All power is given to him. In the book of Acts 4:12, it says there's no other name under heaven or on earth by which men can be saved than Jesus Christ. He is the name, he is the power, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the King of Kings, he is the Messiah, he's the Creator. Christ is our everything, saints. Never get far from Christ and the gospel and you'll go a long way. Speaking of the gospel, verse 19, and go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All right. So Christ gives this great command. Many people call this the Great Commission. Even though the Bible never uses those words, that doesn't appear in Scripture. He says to go teach all nations. That actually translates go make disciples, right? And baptize them. Well, that's an act of obedience, right? When you come to faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection, through repentance, you're born from above. Obviously, obedience is all part of that. You're going to obey the call to be water baptized. It's a symbol of the cleansing of Jesus Christ. He washes us clean. Then we're going to obey in holiness and obedience, and we're going to endure to the end. I'm preaching the gospel here as we finish out the book of Matthew. So go, teach all nations, make disciples, baptize them. It's part of obedience, baptism. And our final verse, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. All right. So here's something as we finish out the book of Matthew, that's something that hardly anyone's doing. Teaching them to observe everything Christ has commanded. That would be everything in the New Testament. Everything that was pre-Torah for us today, everything in the Ten Commandments. Christ is our Sabbath rest. We don't keep Saturday Sabbath. That would be all of the commands that are applicable for the Christians and those following Christ today, not Torah law. Teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. You know, when we go out and street preach and people ask us, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? And we tell them it's not just Sunday church. It's not your pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter. It's not living like the culture. It's obeying God and keeping his word. People always go, well, we don't have to obey all that. What are you talking about? People have totally tossed Jesus' great command. People call it the commission to go and to teach and to make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple's a pupil, right? And you're a pupil of Christ, what are you doing? Learning, right? What are you learning? You're learning all of his word, his commands, his ways, his ordained ways, his desires, his wishes for you, his practices and traditions for how his body functions. This is what you're learning and keeping and following. If you don't follow that, you've made a Jesus of your own making, folks. And that won't stand on Judgment Day. No, that won't stand. So teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. Hardly anyone's doing that today. Most people teach a little bit here and there. They've downgraded obeying God. Yet God tells us he gives the Holy Spirit in Acts 5 to those who obey him. And he said, Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. Hebrews 5:9. Several of my favorite verses. Obedience, very important, saints. It's why I preach the gospel. It's why I teach the word of God. It's why I teach people to become disciples, because that's what Jesus' last words with us on earth were. Ponder that. Important instructions to go preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything. You can also read about that in Luke 24, where he talks about his blood. Go preach his blood for the remission of sin. What a glorious gospel. Side note on this too. This is not, I might have said this already, this is not a suggestion, it's a command. And I want to encourage you, saints, you can go right in your town. You can go in your state where you live. You can go in your country. Yeah, you could travel the world. Some do. Hardly any of them preaching the biblical gospel. But the call is to go. You go to the store, share the gospel. You go to the gas station, share the gospel. Maybe you can't travel. Maybe you can't be a full-time evangelist. But you can go. You can go on the internet. You can go with letters in the mail. You can go with people that you know and neighbors you see. Yeah, you can go leave gospel cards all over. Many, many ways to proclaim the gospel. Jesus said, go, tell the good news. If we don't tell the good news, how will people hear? Paul says in Hebrews, in Romans 10, how will they hear without a preacher? They need to hear the word of God, whether it's in a gospel card, whether you point them to someone's website that's biblical, whether you preach it, open air preach it, or share it. Finally, Jesus says this. He says that he is with us to the end of the world. The end of this world is coming. You realize that. Most people think about Jesus and they think about it loosely. The end of the world is coming. What's the end of the world? The end of the world is the world that we know. This earth that God created as he created it, and then in its fallen state with Satan running the kingdom of man or the kingdom of the world, and Christ's kingdom is within God's people. All that's going to end. 2 Thessalonians 1 says Christ's coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day. All right? And that's what he's going to rule over. And he tells us he will be with us unto the end. I like that. Jesus' words. You know what that echoes? This is beautiful. Ready? The Lord talking to Joshua, Deuteronomy 31, 5 and 6. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good cheer. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth, doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I like that. Jesus kind of echoing those words from the Old Testament, the promises to Israel, to God. What a glorious promise we have, saints, seekers, if you're listening and pondering becoming a disciple of Christ. The whole book of Matthew told us about his birth, his journey, his ministry, his miracles, his teachings, his betrayal, his crucifixion, and his glorious resurrection. We're going to read more about it in all the other books that we're going to study. I don't know which one I'm studying next, but we're going to read more about it. The Bible never gets far from the gospel. The gospel is all over. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all over from Genesis to Revelation. And as you read the Bible, make sure that you're always looking for either the full gospel, pieces of the gospel, aspects of the gospel, truth of the gospel. And my plea to you is never get far from the gospel in your life. Preach the gospel to yourself every day, and then live for the gospel. That's number one. Then share the gospel and call people to the gospel and teach them how to be a disciple and live out the gospel. Everything we do is gospel-centered, saints. And if you do that, you will not fail. I did a teaching on that. Peter talked about what you can do if you don't fail. Build upon those things that God's given us in His Word, and you will not fail. Thanks for walking through the book of Matthew with me. We will be picking up a new book very soon, so stay tuned. I hope this has blessed you. I hope it's encouraged you, edified you. I love to feed the sheep of God. I love to be fed myself. Always learning, always growing, always sharpening our sword so that we may go out and proclaim what? The gospel. Call people to the only hope for this dark world. Hey, we're going out street preaching tomorrow at a big event and a concert. We're going to shine the light of Christ. I'm going to use a lot of stuff I learned from this study. And I hope there's some eyes to see and some ears to hear. We love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. May God be praised.